and welcome to the second edition of the Empire Building Podcast. I'm Candice, and I'm here with Charlotte Lepore, who is the brains behind the Empire Building Movement for Women in Business. Today, we talk about that exact topic, women in business, from a number of different perspectives. Now, there are some strong opinions in this podcast, but we hope you enjoy.
As a female who started her own business, kind of what challenges do you face?
Challenges. I think probably originally that everyone thinks that it's gonna fail. I had so many people in the beginning being like, why do you want to do that? Or just get a job.
Yeah.
Or it's not gonna work, or you'll never make money. So I think, and as well, I think being a mum, it's very much that whatever you do is seen as a hobby rather than a career. Whereas if you get a job, it's no different, you know, being self-employed or having a job, but it's seen as that someone's kind of, you've got recognition and someone wants you and...
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
I've never looked at it that way, actually, but I guess...
Like you're good enough.
Yeah. I guess as somebody who's worked only in business and not had my own business until recently, I've never looked at it in that way, but you look at other people and think... Yeah, you look at self-employed people and think, gosh, you know, the freedom that they must have. Because I think working in a corporate business in particular, you feel quite tied in and you feel quite restricted. Yeah. Do you find that being self-employed, because you've worked in corporate as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I've worked in corporate and I've worked in a company that was kind of in between. So we were kind of made to kind of run it as if it was our own business within their business. And then I've worked for myself. I think when you're employed and you've only ever been employed, you look at self-employed people and think that they have it made because they seem to have all the time in the world and seem to have loads of money and seem to be able to do what they want when they want. But I think the only difference is that you are working on your own thing, so you probably actually have less time, but you want to do it more.
Yeah. Yeah, you're working for your own goal.
Yeah, you want to continuously, like, my brain doesn't switch off from work at all.
And do you think you could ever go back into a corporate role?
No, never.
No.
I don't think I can be managed. I think that's the problem.
I've got to say that's probably my biggest problem. Mm. I think your leader has such an impact on your well-being and your happiness. You get the right one and it can be bloody amazing. You get the wrong one and it can be the difference between being happy and healthy and not.
Yeah, absolutely. And I either think that I know better and have to, for some reason, voice that opinion when probably I don't, or I take it on as if it's my own company and go above and beyond.
Yeah.
And then end up feeling resentful because I think, why am I putting so much into someone else's company? But both for my own doing.
Yeah.
So therefore, I just, I have to work for myself.
Yeah.
There's no other option.
And I guess what you've just described there is an entrepreneurial trait. Yeah. You know, that those things are, you know, you're not somebody who wants to go into work and do a 9-to-5.
Yeah.
And you're somebody who, if you do go in and do a 9-to-5, you want to go above and beyond, but not everybody has that trait. Do you think that everybody could work for themselves, or do you think it's quite a different mindset that you have to make it work?
I think it's a different mindset. I used to always think that up until recently that everybody wanted the same thing and everyone had the same goal and everyone would eventually want to work for themselves. Everyone would eventually want to have the freedom of owning this business and, you know, doing what you want when you want. But actually I've realised that no, like, success is completely personal to whoever that person is, and sometimes people just want to go to work and go home and not think about it again. That to them is success.
Yeah.
Being able to go to work, do their job, know they get paid on a certain day and never have to think about it the weekends. For me, that's the complete opposite to what I want. I that is really not what I want, but yeah, I think you do have to be that certain person, a certain kind of personality type to even want it, and then another certain person to even try and implement it.
Yeah.
You know, it's steps, isn't it?
Yeah. You mentioned that different people have different ideas of success, and I completely agree. And I think some people assume, and you used to assume, that everybody wants the same things. Mm. That's absolutely not the case. What do you think is the single biggest reason why you're successful in business?
I think there is a certain lifestyle that I want to be able to afford. So that's probably the main the main reason that I kind of keep pushing myself forward. But I guess I've just always felt like I wanted to create something.
Yeah.
And be part of something, and not just, I don't live for weekends. You know, I don't, the weekend is just another day to me. I just want to have a life that I'm not escaping from.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need to wait until my 2-week holiday. I don't need to wait till it's Friday. I want literally my job, when it has become me. So it doesn't matter what day it is. It's,
yeah,
it's still, it's just me. It's just me living my life.
Yeah. I think one of the biggest mistakes I've made in striving for what I thought was success is I've chased the wrong things. So, you know, I've chased job title through status. I've chased more and more money. And actually, although I absolutely agree with you, if you want to lead and live a certain type of lifestyle, you need to earn a certain amount of money. Yeah. That's important. What do you think the other things are over and above just a job title or earning money? Mm-hmm. Like, what things to you kind of really show success?
I think a passion for what you do, so it almost doesn't feel like a work. I know there's that whole cliche, isn't there? If you love what you do, you don't work a day in your life. But I think that's so true. If you actually really love what you do, I just enjoy what I do. It really isn't about the money. I genuinely feel like the things that I'm doing now, if I won the lottery tomorrow, I would still do them. Yeah. I'd just put so much more into them than I possibly can now. So I think that's the key, because if you are just, you know, if your end goal is money or your end goal is status, you're never going to get there. Because even if you did get to those goals, you know, the goals keep changing. Yeah. But even if you did get to certain goals, the fulfillment of what you're doing isn't there.
Yeah.
You know, the inside happiness isn't there. So you'll never be happy with it.
Yeah, and you and I both love Stephen Bartlett. We're big fans. So if he is listening, we'd love to meet you. But he talks about how, you know, the goal cannot be the final destination. Yeah. It has to be the journey. And that's so true, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. So important. Yeah, he says about, you know, if it was a game and we were waiting for the end of the game, If we met our end goal, we would literally be dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's not life. It's constantly changing, and constantly the goal is changing, and you know, we evolve so much as people that goals that we had when we were 20 are different when we're 30. When we're 30, they're different when we're 40. That is life, and unless you can kind of enjoy different stages, you're just completely missing out on it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, obviously, we're both females in business, and we are both about female empowerment. You know, from my perspective, the reason it's so important is in corporate business, I have seen, you know, women treated differently for years and years. Yeah. And, you know, I've been treated differently, and my journey's been quite challenging because I'm a female and, you know, by some perceived as attractive. Mm. And, you know, that's been very hard. People underestimate you. And, you know, they assume that you're not capable and you have to work harder. Yeah. And I think from a corporate perspective, those things are going to take time to change. But what challenges do you face as kind of a female in you know, business and in owning your own business, effectively being your own CEO?
Yeah, probably not so much. I think corporate-wise, you do get that a lot more, because you are coming up against males and, you know, perceptions of why you do your job, how you do your job, how you got there, those kind of things.
Yeah.
When you're self-employed, you don't get that so much. And I'm in a very female-led industry, so I don't really come across many men. But maybe then that's the opposite. Maybe the industry needs to be a bit more open to males being involved. I don't know. That's a different side. But, it's not something that I've really come across, if I'm honest.
No.
Because I've never really been in a corporate job at a high level.
Yeah.
But obviously, you know, you'll know more, but I'd imagine being in a high level corporate job, you probably see it all the time.
Yeah, I think, you know, and it's not just overt sexism that I'm necessarily talking about. It's just how it tends to be, you know, men are perceived that they will be more successful. So, for example, you know, I don't want children. Yeah. And that's something that lots of women and lots of people are quite surprised about.
Yeah.
And yet, I think if a male was to say the same thing and say that it's because they're career-driven, it would be really, really accepted.
Yeah.
But actually, it's almost been quite shocking for people to hear that from me. And so that's a perspective from, you know, a very personal experience that I've got to say I found quite hard.
Yeah.
And I think now that I can voice it, you know, almost just letting people know that any choice is okay.
I mean,
you have children. Well, I say children, you have Mika.
Yeah.
And how do you find balancing that with being...
Yeah, it's difficult, very difficult, because it's constantly knowing what the right thing to do is and what my energy needs to go into, because ultimately without my job, you know, that funds our life.
Yeah.
So I do need to put a certain amount of energy into that to keep that everything going, but at the same time I need to not put too much energy into work and not be focusing on her and, you know, not making sure that she's getting enough attention. So yeah, it's a massive, massive struggle. And a struggle that men don't have to deal with, even if they are in a relationship. You know, I'm a single mum, but even if they are in a relationship, they don't have to deal with that. So they don't know the pressures of doing both. And when I think back to, you know, you said about, you know, corporate-wise, when I think back to every interview I've had by a man, and I'm talking about a long time ago now because I haven't had an interview probably for about 10 years, but I have been asked in that interview when I'm thinking about having kids.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and now when I think back, I just think, when? Why is it a when? Who's to say that
I even
want children?
Yeah.
And B, none of your business.
Yeah.
C, doesn't make any difference to my performance of my job. So, yeah, I don't know if they're allowed to even ask that anymore, but they definitely shouldn't be allowed to.
Yeah, I think there's definitely, I've recognised, there's definitely an unconscious bias towards women of a certain age and whether, you know, if they recently got married, does that mean that they're going to go and have children? And I've seen that in the corporate world.
Yeah.
And as sad as that is, I think it is still there and things are getting better. And I think, you know, some businesses are very mindful of it, but it's without a doubt a challenge for, you know, the females face, more so the men. Not, I'm sure there are some dads out there who will face, you know, the same challenges, but from a different perspective. You know, I doubt that they're ever asked in an interview when they're planning on having children or if they're planning on having
children. And probably
children.
Really praised by the fact that, you know, if they are doing it, and don't get me wrong, it's an amazing job if they are, but if they're working and raising children on their own or even as a family, massively praised for what they're doing. But I don't feel like women get the same praise. You know, women are doing so much to keep their house going, to keep their kids going, to keep their work going. If a guy was doing that, it'd be like, oh my god, you know, absolute
that's
unbelievable that he's managing to do all of this.
Yeah,
whereas a woman, it's almost, you know, frowned upon if you do it the slightest thing wrong. And we're all human at the end of the day.
Yeah. And it's such an interesting one, because I do think, you know, that you can argue it either way. There's definitely these accepted pressures on women that, you know, we just get on with it. But then equally, you look at, and I don't want to go too much off track, but you look at, you know, when a couple do have a child, a lot of businesses now still only give men 2 weeks paternity.
Yeah,
and actually
crazy,
the fairness in that balance.
Yeah.
So, you know, there is a different side to it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that they're expected to go back to work after having a newborn and just bounce back as if everything's normal. And yeah, absolutely. But I think there's just this kind of perception around women that we all want kids.
Mm-mm.
We all want them now.
Yep.
As soon as we've had one, we want the next one. Yeah, the amount of people that say to me, oh, when, you know, when you're going to have another one, I'm like, I'm absolutely not.
Yeah.
The amount of people that say to me, oh, you'll change your mind.
Oh, yeah. I find it really hard, actually, from a personal perspective. It took me a long time to accept that it's okay not to want to have children.
Yeah.
And I just don't. I never have. I've never felt that way inclined. And I find it obviously really rude when people ask me. But not only do they ask, their reactions when I tell them that I don't. I mean, I've had people tell me, oh, that's so sad. And I'm thinking, I'm not sad about it. So please don't feel like you have to be sad on my behalf. And I think, you know, part of the reason I'm so passionate about us doing these podcasts is that, you know, it's okay if you want 10 children. It's okay if you don't want any children.
Yeah.
But it's not okay that you assume...
It's not an open discussion.
You know what somebody else wants.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's because you're a female, therefore what you do with your life is an open discussion with an absolute stranger.
Mm. But on the flip side to that, I have no doubt I've done better in my career because I don't have children.
Okay.
Only based on the fact that I probably wouldn't have been promoted.
Yeah.
And I'm making assumptions here.
Yeah.
But that I probably wouldn't have been promoted if I did have to have that balance.
Yeah.
Because there's a perception there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I can only talk of my experience. I'm sure there's lots of businesses that, you know, actively promote women with children. Mm-hmm. But I think my ability to be flexible outside of working hours has definitely been a massive bonus.
Yeah, and it's funny actually you should mention that, because I was speaking to a male a couple of days ago and they said they're the only one in their company that doesn't have a family.
Yeah.
And therefore they're always the one that as soon as there's a work trip, oh, they'll do it. They don't mind, they're free. Or something at the weekend, oh, they'll do it, they haven't got kids. And he was like, why? Just because I don't have made that choice, am I the one that then has to pick up the pieces when everyone else has got to do, you know, they come first.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there is a flip side to that.
Yeah, and I'll share a personal experience, actually, and obviously I won't speak about the company, but I was once told by somebody very senior that because I didn't have children, which meant I didn't have a real life, believe it or not, meant that they expected more from me, from a work context. And, you know,
that's terrible.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, it was dealt with in the right way, and I spoke up about it. But that individual actually felt that there was nothing wrong with what they were saying. They felt that was absolutely fine. You know, you don't have a real life because you don't have children. And that was one of the catalysts that made me realise, wow, you know, you can have a real life without children.
Oh, absolutely.
Not why I was put on this earth, or at least I don't think so.
I completely agree. I think I kind of see both sides of it, because I'm kind of like a part-time mum, you know, because I share her, we have 50-50, so I get to see kind of both sides of it.
Yeah.
And neither was easy.
No.
You know, the whole pandemic kind of brought that to light, when, you know, some people were saying, oh, but people that got kids have got it easier because they're not on their own. And then other people were saying that, you know, that people are on their own have got it easier because they don't have to deal with anyone else. I could kind of see both sides, and
absolutely,
both were terrible. It's just one of those things that everyone's different, everyone's priorities are different. But I do feel like a lot of people kind of judge me for almost putting my business first, but I feel like sometimes I do put my business before her, because without my business she won't have anything.
Yeah.
So, you know, what's the alternative? That I constantly put her before my business, I'll always have her, but I then can't afford to supply her life.
Yeah, it's such a balance, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think it's so brave that you can openly say that as well, because, you know, people will frown upon that type of comment,
you know. Absolutely do. But for me, I feel like I've almost got two children. One is my business and one is my child.
Yeah.
They are as important as each other, because one doesn't survive without the other.
Yeah.
But people don't like that. Especially people that don't kind of get that life is a struggle and being self-employed is a struggle and it doesn't all come easy.
Yeah.
You know, I have to generate every single penny that comes in. I don't get any money from anywhere else.
No guarantee.
No. So unless they've been in that situation, they kind of just think that maybe I'm just probably putting that before her. But that's unfortunately how my life is and will continue to be.
Or fortunately. I mean, it works for you. So
it does work for me, and they can have their opinions as much as they want. Unfortunately for them, that's how it will remain. So.
Yeah.
And we're all happy. So that's good.
And with your business focusing on, you know, really empowering other women, which I love, and really helping them build their empires, I know a lot of those women are going to be mums or want to be mums in the future or have, you know, other people that they need to support, whether it be ill family members or whatever that might be. What advice do you have for them on how you've managed that and how you balance it?
I think mainly kind of just putting everyone else's opinions aside and really just thinking, you know, they aren't paying my bills, so their opinion really doesn't matter. And I think a lot of opinion comes from either people that aren't in your situation, people that don't want to be in your situation. They're never going to understand it. So there's no point kind of trying to keep everyone happy. You have to just do what keeps you happy. And know that you kind of can have it all in a way. You know, yes, there are sacrifices, but I don't feel like I have a life really any different. You know, I feel like our lives are quite similar. Yes, I do have Mika, but, you know, the standard of life that I have and everything that I provide for her and me and all the things that we do have come because I've really kind of carve this life for myself.
Yeah.
Just because I've got a baby or a child now, I think so many people think, oh, like, I've got kids, or I can't do that because I've got kids, or I can't go away because I've got kids. If anything, I want her to grow up feeling like you can do absolutely anything, you can have absolutely anything, you can have any life you want, you can go anywhere you want, you can travel anywhere you want. but you do have to work for it.
Yeah, and that's such a good mindset, because I think a lot of people do think, right, now I'm a mum, mm-hmm. and that's actually how they would introduce themselves and describe themselves. Mm-hmm. But actually, yes, you have a child, but you're still Charlotte. Yeah. You know, you are a mum when you need to be a mum, but you're also a businesswoman, and you're a friend, and you're all of these other things. Yeah,
everything is just as important as everything else, because that makes me a well-rounded person that... she's influenced by, you know, even things like, you know, before the pandemic, I used to go away a lot. I'm sure loads of people probably frowned upon that I used to go away a lot and leave her. But I also encouraged her dad to do that. I can remember when she was below one and we weren't together and he wanted to go to Thailand for 3 weeks and everyone was like, oh, wow, you know, that's terrible. And I was like, it's not terrible. No. I encouraged that because I want her to grow up thinking, if you've got an opportunity to go to Thailand for 3 weeks, go. Yeah. You know, why would you say no? I want her to go away to Thailand for 3 weeks. I want to go away to Thailand for 3 weeks. Yeah. You know, I want to live a life that's so full and rounded.
Yeah.
If I don't do that now, she's never going to do that.
Yeah. And it's those other people's opinions creeping in again. Why is that terrible? Oh, because, you know, society would let you believe that it's terrible because you could only spend time with your child.
Yeah, you should never leave her. You should be at home. You should be a stay-at-home mum. You should... And don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with stay-at-home mums. If anything, they've got the hardest job of all.
Yeah.
But that's not me. No. And I can't pretend to be someone else, especially to my own child. I want her to grow up feeling like... You know, you should strive to meet your dreams. You should travel the world. You should try all experiences. That's the person that I want her to grow up to be.
Yeah.
Even more so than me.
Yeah. And you are right. It is personal choice. You know, one of my sisters has 3 children and I definitely wouldn't want her job. It's a very difficult job.
So hard.
But that's an individual choice. Mm. And what you're saying is it's okay to not, you know, make the choice that society leads you to believe is the choice because you're a female and because you're a mum.
If you want that life, then absolutely, I, you know, commend you, because it's, you know, if that's really what you want to do, that's also success. If that's what you don't strive to be, you have, you know, created your own success. But everyone's success is so different.
Yeah.
And I think we all feel like in society we're all striving for the same things, and we're really not.
Yeah. So being a female and starting a business, or being a female and a mum, so it doesn't really matter which one, but what was the most kind of terrifying leap that you had to make from going from employed to self-employed, and whilst you were a mum?
I wasn't actually employed. I was basically unemployable, kind of, because when I moved back from a different country, I was pregnant, so I don't think anyone would have employed me. And I did have opportunities, but... At that point, I just kind of felt like it was now or never. So that was kind of the first biggest jump. But then I had a little bit more support at that point. I think there was another point in my life when, because I was a single mum originally, I was entitled to benefits, and I decided to give those up.
Okay.
Because I just thought that's actually not the life that I want, and I didn't. And it kind of like held me back, because you could only earn a certain amount to get a certain amount, and I just thought, I don't want to earn that amount. I want to really push myself. So that was quite scary. Taking on my house, that was scary. But it's so weird, because when you kind of... I remember when you have these hurdles, you feel like, I'm never going to be able to manage that. I can remember moving into my house thinking, I don't even know how much, you know, things cost. I don't know how much electricity is. I don't know if I'm going to afford it. I don't know if I'm going to like cover my mortgage. Now, I don't even think about those things, you know, half the time I've got all the lights on, stuff like that. But, you know, you kind of get to these next hurdles and think, can I do that? Well, yeah, absolutely you can, but it's just pushing through those limitations.
So you think that's a mindset and, you know, cracking through those limiting beliefs that people have. Totally agree.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it's been nearly 6 years without a guaranteed income, but it's never once crossed my mind that I won't be able to pay for anything.
That's amazing.
Know that I will. I'll find a way. Like, if, you know, God, I'm not putting down people that get jobs, because God, that's amazing if you've got a job and you've kept a job, but I will have to get a job if I have to.
Yeah.
But I know I don't have to, because I know that I will make something of this.
Yeah. But you know you've got that as a fallback and you're not afraid to kind of pivot and change direction.
I'll go and work in Aldi if I have to. Like, I don't care. As long as I can make money, I don't care where it is.
Do you think you can scan that fast on the...
I don't know about that. I need some training in that area.
Yeah, they're pretty quick, aren't they? Just fling them down the conveyor belt.
But yeah, like, I'd do it. Like, I think anyone that is earning money should be proud of themselves no matter what they do.
Absolutely. I completely agree. Male, female, you know, old, young. I think anybody who goes and makes a living. I think the key is, though, to make a living and be passionate about it. That's the hardest part, because I think lots of people I know, you know, I come from a very working class background, very proudly so, and I've seen people work hard, but not necessarily fulfilled. They work hard because they just need to keep a roof over their head, or they need to feed their children or themselves, or whatever that might look like.
That's like devastating, really. If you, or even if you, not even to that level, I mean, that is devastating, but even to a level where you've got a very good job, but, you know, you don't enjoy it, and every day is,
Exactly.
is painful to get out of bed and spend 8 hours at this desk at this job that you hate. And yeah, like, I am grateful every single day that I love what I do. But I think, I don't think I would have stopped. You know, I've had every job under the sun, like, you name it, I've done it. I don't think I would have stopped until I found what that was. Because I think for me, I need that.
And do you think, so I think that's a trait, again, of an entrepreneur and somebody who's very driven, and you have that in abundance. But for somebody who doesn't necessarily, those traits don't come to them naturally, do you think everybody's capable of finding something they love? Or do you just think it depends on...
Yeah, I think they are. I think, I'm a strong believer in a lot of, I know some people are clinically depressed, but I think a lot of depression is based around just not fulfilling your life and being fulfilled in a job or a relationship, or, you know, anywhere of your life can really kind of then make you feel like you haven't got anything. So I think everyone has got the ability to find their passion and live this life of their dreams, but I don't know if they've got, I don't know what the word is, the actual oomph, I guess, to go out there and find it. I think some people are just really kind of sit back and think, well, this is it, this is life. It's not, but you have really got to, you know, it goes back to that thing again of, you know, having an idea is an idea, but actually implementing it, that's a whole other thing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are held back by fear. I mean, you know, you talk about how, you know, being employed gives you that stability, that guaranteed income. And, you know, I'm not saying that to be fulfilled you have to be self-employed, because I absolutely don't think that's the case. But I think employed, self-employed, whatever that might look like, people hold themselves back because they're scared of failure, scared of not being able to pay their bills, scared of rejection, scared of whatever that might look like.
Scared of people's opinions, scared of not looking like they're doing well. Yeah, and so they just live in fear.
Yeah, and it's so I guess it's, you know, how do you overcome that fear? Like, what advice would you give to people? Because, you know, not everybody can just take the risk to lose their income to go and either start something or change jobs where they might need to retrain.
That's true,
But what advice would you give to people?
I think if you're in a position where you can't just leave your job, you do have to really be really disciplined and make sure that you work on your business, your sideline at that point, if it's a sideline, every single day. You know, if even if you did 20 minutes, the same, like if you went to the gym 20 minutes every day for a year.
The consistency,
The results would be dramatic, wouldn't they? So if you did the same on a side business.
Absolutely.
But again, it's having, you know, the courage to implement it and really kind of stick to it. And I think a lot of us are kind of in this mindset of, you don't want to start something and it fail. You don't want to have to, you know, admit that it didn't go well. But who cares? I think a lot of people don't really care.
Yeah. And I think my advice is, you know, I agree that, you know, every circumstance can be changed, but people need a plan and they need to really want it. And actually, we live in a world, and we're going to talk about social media at some point on these podcasts, but we live in a world of instant gratification.
Yeah.
And actually, true change and true happiness, it doesn't just come overnight. And it's a constant, you know, I don't like to say battle, but, you know, it's a constant investment, I guess, to, you know, get yourself to where you want to be. You're never done. You're never finished, complete. Because as you say, that at that point...
It changes, you want something else. And I think, you know, people buy into people's stories and their struggles, because we all do struggle. I don't think, and like you said, we're going to, you know, talk about this more with the social media, but I don't think people buy into people or want to support people that just look like they've been given everything or everything's perfect and they don't struggle, because that's not life. So I think, you know, talking about your struggles and talking about things that are, you know, your ups and downs, people are more likely to want to support your business and kind of carry through with you than if you try and pretend that everything is great when it's not, because it's not, you know, that's just not life.
Yeah.
So it's just about being honest, not really caring about people's opinions, but also knowing the flip side that actually people's opinions are that they probably do want the best for you, and they do want to help you if you need help. And asking for help is something that I really struggle with, yeah. But I'm starting to realise you can't do everything on your own, and nor should you want to.
Yeah. And do you think, so you said that people want to help, and one of the things I've always found interesting as a female is, you know, we're our own worst enemy and we're one another's worst enemy.
Yeah.
And, you know, have you found any of that in business, you know, being a female in the industry you're in, because yeah. It is very female dominated, yeah. And everybody's trying to, you know, achieve and be better than in some instances. Yeah. Have you found any of that, that, you know, there's, you know, your network is all about supporting women because that's something you're passionate about, but have you come up against, you know, other women potentially kind of throwing things your way?
Yeah, but I have found that within salons that it is like that. Unfortunately, it can still be that kind of school mentality environment in salons, especially if there's lots of self-employed people working under one roof, because they've all got different visions and goals, they're all trying, and they're also quite entrepreneurial because they're all self-employed, so they're all wanting maybe to, you know, that kind of alpha female wanting to be the best. So I don't generally feel like a self-employed salons work, but I know some of them do, but I think as a whole, I try and, like, people that I've trained, I try and steer them away from that, because for me personally, I just don't think it's a great environment. But again, that's probably one of the reasons why I do just, or up until recently, have really just worked for myself on my own, because you can then just get rid of all the noise.
Yeah.
You know, don't look at social media, don't get involved in it, don't kind of, you know, I don't look at competitors, I don't look at what they're doing. A lot of people kind of get upset when branding's very similar and things like that. Yeah. I just don't look, so I don't know. It could be the same, who knows?
Stay in your own lane.
Yeah, exactly. But having said that, the flip reverse of that is actually I do want to support people now. I do want to, you know, us to kind of work together. I don't want it to be that when you're working on your own, you have to do it alone, because that's really scary and isolating. So it's almost, again, bringing your barriers down and saying to people in the same industry, I do struggle.
Yeah.
I know you struggle as well. Let's just, like, be friends and talk about it. And my mum's actually in the same industry, and she said years ago, everyone was so helpful. You know, she's a hairdresser. She said that, you know, if you ran out of colour, you'd go to your next salon and they'd give it to you. She said, now, they wouldn't even open the door. So it's about, I think, kind of getting back to those old school days where, yes, you do the same job, but there's so many people out there that want that from you. You can't physically do everyone. So let's not be against each other.
And I think a lot of this in females comes from, you know, either our own limiting beliefs or our own self-esteem.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think they are things that, you know, again, we'll discuss on future podcasts. Mm. Because I think particularly, you know, self-esteem is quite a key thing for women in business, and not feeling like you're competing with other people, but that actually you're good enough in your own right.
You're doing your thing, they're doing theirs, and actually, you know, there's so many girls, amazing girls in this area that are doing amazing things, and they should be praised for what they're doing, because they're young, they're, like, you know, breaking glass ceilings, and, you know, they're struggling at times, of course they are, because that's life, and they should be really proud. I'm like, we should all be proud of each other, that we're all creating this.
Yeah. It's another thing where, you know, and this definitely isn't a podcast about sexism in any way, but, you know, I think men are much more able to kind of pat their male friends on the back and say, oh, you know, you're doing really well. But there's just something about females until they've kind of, you know, got to a certain place and happiness in themselves, that, as I say, we're our own worst enemy, and therefore we can be one another's worst enemy. And that's why I love the concept of what you're doing, because I think it's so important that, you know, as somebody who's been in the industry, you know, who's been in business, who's experienced quite a lot, says, actually, let's break those barriers and let's stop it.
Yeah.
You know, let's actually support one another and do it so authentically in the way that you do.
Absolutely. It's not going to take away business from anyone by helping them.
No.
If anything, it's going to, you know, educate you in certain areas.
Broaden your network.
Exactly. And maybe even, you know, go on to creating more business. But doing it alone and being bitter about what other people is never gonna, it's never gonna get you anywhere. So you just need to kind of open your mind a little bit more and see what's out there, see what other people are doing, and see how you can kind of support them to support you.
Yeah, absolutely. So final question for the podcast. If you could give anybody one piece of advice, doesn't have to be about business, it could just be about anything, what would it be?
Keep consistent. Yeah. Consistency with anything is key, whether it's the gym, whether it's education, whether it's business, whether it's being a mum, relationships, being consistent, working on whatever you're working on every single day creates a massive end goal result. So yeah, that's just how I run my business, how I run my life, always doing things consistently. And I just think that's the key to every success of life.
Absolutely. And then my final thoughts on that are about, you know, just being authentically you. I think for a long time, whilst I've been in corporate business, you try to fit in. And actually, part of when you shine is when you're okay to stand out and be yourself and bring, you know, that authentic version of you. Those quirks that you might think, you know, well, people are going to think I don't fit in, or are actually what make you successful. Yeah. And not being afraid of that. Ultimately, people buy into people.
Yeah.
And so I think that's my biggest learning, is just don't be afraid to be yourself, regardless of background, gender, age, colour of skin, any of that. Just be authentically you and you'll find your place.
Love that.
On that note, we're going to leave the podcast there. Make sure you keep an ear out over the next couple of weeks, because we're going to be inviting along some special guests to share their opinions on different topics that will support growing your business. Thank you so much for listening.